Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I don't know why I'm actually doing this tonight. I really don't feel like it, but hello, welcome to the NSWC debut edition. Friday, on the East Coast, it's Friday, June 8th, 2007. It's not for the other host of this program yet. Say something, Rob.
Something.
Yeah, something.
Actually, I got one thing to say. A friend of mine just had his first break of fame. He just had something of his posted on YouTube by a couple of his friends, and here's what I have to say about that. And since I can't sing, I'll just say the words. Go, Tony, go, go. Go, Tony, go, go, go. Go, Tony, go, go. Tony, be good. Since I can't sing, I might as well go Henry Rollins' spoken word.
Well, we hope you're having a nice night here. What happened earlier, we were supposed to do this at 8 o'clock his time, 10 o'clock my time. I really can't discuss what happened with me, but I decided to go ahead and do the show and get it over with. And hopefully we'll get some callers in so Rob and whoever else is on can do most of the talking, because I really don't feel like it. So if anyone out there who's listening, who wants to call in, number is 718-664-6589, and pretty much talk about anything you want to talk about, wrestling-wise. You can go in the old era, you can go the Attitude era, the WWE, you can talk about now, I really don't care, just call in.
You really don't sound too good, Carl. Maybe it was your work or something?
Oh, well, like I said, I really can't discuss it right now.
I got you, dude. I got you.
So call in, folks, if you're actually listening out there.
By the way, Carl, did you watch Raw on Monday?
Bits and pieces of it.
Vince McMahon acted like a complete, well,
jackass.
Lunatic.
Lunatic, yeah. And it came on TV show.
Yep.
Not to spoil tomorrow night, but it's supposed to be worse than it was the first two times.
Oh, no.
So, for those who watch SmackDown, I'd take a look at it tomorrow. At all.
Well, I forgot to take a look at the spoilers.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying. For those who listen.
Well, I always have it on record on my DVR. I record every single episode of SmackDown since March 06. Till end of March 06.
Did all that on your DVR?
No. Most of them are put on DVDs.
Oh, okay.
Before it started to crap out.
What, DVR? Oh, DVD, yeah.
Yeah, the DVD recorder crapped out on me, so I'm back to using tapes.
I've been using tapes more than DVDs recently. Actually, I've been reusing some of the tapes that I recorded episodes of ER on that I now have on DVD. Which I don't need, so I've been...
Old episodes of ER? Or
yeah.
ER?
Season 1 through 7?
By the way, you know John Stamos is on that show now?
Yes, for the last season and a half.
Well, that was news to me. I didn't know he was on that show.
Yeah, they were desperate for star power after a lot of the original cast left. They're actually pretty much all gone.
difference of star power, so they bring in a star of the late 80s, early 90s in John Stamos. Can you explain that logic to me? The guy wasn't relevant since after Full House got canceled. Anyways, if you say that Raw, SmackDown, and Vince's mannerisms are worse than they were on Raw and ECW, then I probably don't ruin a good show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, we have a caller.
And I know who it is.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, Carl, you're on live with NSWC.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Nikki Heyman calling in.
Told you I know who it was.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, although I was awakened by Mr. Seidelman to call in.
Well, that's because Carl is not feeling too well. Something happened to him tonight. He doesn't want to talk about it, although I think I know what it is.
Well,
yeah.
It ain't what happened to me. It just happened around me.
Oh.
Yeah. So you two will have to take the reins for most of it. I'll chip in whenever.
Very well.
Okay. By the way, you know what we forgot to talk about on Tyler's show, Nikki?
What was that?
I think we forgot to talk about Saturday night's main event and what actually happened on Saturday night's main event.
I don't think we covered a whole lot of it. I know we touched on it because I had made the comment that we should have called it Saturday night's midget event.
Or, to me, from what it looked like, more like Saturday night thunder.
I would not degrade it that much. It was actually a very good show.
No, I don't mean, you know, like Russo, you know, the WCW late thunder. I'm more like... Back when Thunder was actually watchable, like late 98, early 99 Thunder.
I see. They had arranged, admittedly, the booking looks backwards, but I was told that some Saturday Night main events were booked this way, that the really good matches were early on for those who couldn't stay up late enough, and then they would just work back down the card.
Yeah, I remember they did that a lot. I remember one Saturday Night main event... Right before Survivor Series, the main event was Hercules versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
Mm-hmm.
They had a Hulk... No, it wasn't... Was it? Yeah, had to be Herc. I'm trying to remember who fought Hogan.
Zeus?
No, Hogan wrestled there, and I remember because it took place here. It took place in Seattle.
I see.
I remember the first match was George the Animal Steel versus Danny Davis.
All right.
Bret Hart versus Macho Man Randy Savage followed.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Hulk Hogan versus somebody. I know it was a member of Heenan's family.
Right.
And then Bam Bam was the main event. It just isn't coming to me.
No, that's fine. What we have with Saturday Night's main event, we open with the Cena Kali business to get it out of the way.
Which, admittedly, was a good idea. However, the match itself was quite decent.
The match itself was better than it had any right to be. I wish I had taped it. Just to go back and count how many moves Kali actually did. He did more than three moves. He sold. He fell down. He is actually starting to perform. This is dangerous. I don't want to put too much stock in it. I've heard that he's having issues with his knees, so he's playing hurt.
Yeah, and I heard that too. And I'm amazed how well Cena actually sold.
Cena
sold the littlest thing well.
And I think it's because of all the crackdown that Cena received after WrestleMania, not just from Shawn Michaels. You can't tell me that Michaels was the only one who yelled at him about what happened during that match.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He started to sell a lot more.
So, I think we're going to start seeing the vulnerabilities in John Cena, which will lead to his eventual fall. Not necessarily to the great Kali, but we're
can't be Kali.
No, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be Triple H. at Unforgiven.
Triple H at Unforgiven?
Yes, September.
Yeah, he is coming back as heel, is that right?
I don't know. See, if some of this is also going to bank on what Shawn Michaels is going to do. There is retirement talk out there.
And I would understand about Triple H because he's been battered and bruised a lot over the past, 5 years?
I'm talking more about Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah, Shawn Michaels. He has, you know, like, good 6 months program left in him left. Then he needs to go. As much as I love the Heartbreak Kid, he's gotta go. He's done.
We'll see what happens.
You gotta mean, he's had a great career, though.
No, nothing. I will never complain about his career, and definitely the miracle that we saw that night in 2002 when he came strutting out in an NWO t-shirt. Nobody expected that. I nearly fell out of my chair. I spoiled it for somebody who wasn't going to see it for 6 hours because there was no way I was going to be able to hide that.
Wait a minute. So he must have been in Hawaii or Samoa or something.
I have a dear friend in Hawaii who's also a big wrestling fan and a longtime wrestling fan. He's another one of my sources. And he was the one, he's worked with me, you know, when we got to watch the shows. When it was on Spike, there was only an hour difference, so we could actually talk about it. We'd have to wait till the next evening to discuss it nowadays because USA isn't time corrected.
I know that because I remember 10 years ago, we had the East Coast feed for TNT and TBS, so we get to watch Nitro at 5 instead of 8, watched the 2 hours of that, took a break, and then watched Raw. When it expanded to 3 hours, it worked out perfectly because we watched Nitro, and then Mom got to watch Walker, Texas Ranger, and then we watched Raw.
There you go.
So, 5 hours of action, 1 hour of Chuck friggin' Norris, the most overrated internet phenomenon in the world.
Well, there's the Chuck Norris list, and then there's the Mr. T list. And I've seen those little isms reworked for Samoa Joe, and those are actually quite funny.
Oh, by the way, you showed me this. It was this. No, I showed you this, I believe.
What's that?
The Letitia Klein, Christy Hemme, Nine Inch Nails music video.
Yes, you did. And as a matter of fact, it creeped up on my message board. I wasn't the one who posted it either. They posted that, and two posts later says you cannot post that without posting the Basic Instinct parody. So, yes, we did get the Letitia Klein Basic Instinct parody. And I went just for that. After I finished watching that, I watched the WrestleMania 21 one with Stacey Keibler and the Canadian Chrises.
Are you interested in any sadomasochistic activity? And by the way, the funniest part is one of the sickest parts, Fabulous Moolah May Young come in after Chris Jericho says, all right, let's bring in the next ones. All right, hurry up, boys. We don't have much time. Smack. Ew!
But did you see exactly what the reactions were?
Ooh.
Christian pulled his tie up around his eyes. I think Benoit picked up the garbage can. I forgot what Jericho did.
I think he just turned away. It's still up on YouTube, though.
I can find it. I would be willing to look that up.
What makes me mad, though, is that they took down the TNA parodies.
Yes, they're already gone. I'm glad I got to see them when I did. And No, I can't save them now. If they're not up, I can't save them. But we're getting off track. What they did next for the Saturday Night's Main Event was the Bobby Lashley Vince McMahon arm wrestling match, which I had no interest in.
I fell asleep.
I muted the segment because I didn't want to listen to Vince McMahon rant. And Bobby Lashley has the Brock Lesnar great big body and itty-bitty waist. So I just couldn't stand it.
Another reason why many people around the internet call him Chuck Lesnar.
Yes, or Black Lesnar, depending on who you ask. So, and Vince McMahon probably made up some big excuse, and out came Mark Henry, and hilarity ensued.
Yes, Lashley spears Henry. Vince slams Henry in the slams Lashley in the back with chair. Hilarity abounds. And now we get to the smallest.
Right. Now, the mixed tag, first of all, I've got to say this. I love watching Finley and Hornswoggle working together, and Boogie and Little Boogie are just are wonderfully creepy. This is going to sound a little deep, even for wrestling, but it's been fun watching the relationship between Finley and Hornswoggle develop.
Yeah,
I
love that, too.
In the beginning, In the beginning, Finley had a tool that lives under the ring. Then we've gotten to the point where they talk to each other. They actually interact. We got to see them dance in the ring, for crying out loud. And then Finley came to help.
You also get to see him dance backstage, too.
Well, yeah. Well, Finley danced better than the Extreme Exposé girls, but I won't go there.
I think we should go there because they actually do, in fact, suck.
I give props for the world's smallest chicken fight. That was the funniest thing I have ever seen.
And Kelly was just standing there with her thumb up her ass as usual.
I won't go too far into that. From there we went into the SmackDown tag match, which was quite good, but you had excellent performers all around. No matter what you say about Batista, good or bad, I will admit that he wasn't the worst guy in the ring. He was the best, but they made a very good match out of it, and they made sure there was no momentum marker for Batista Edge at One Night Stand. Now, you know about the momentum marker, right?
Huh?
Do you understand the concept of the who's got momentum when it comes to a pay-per-view?
Yes. Benoit had tons of momentum going for it. Batista hardly had any momentum because they just came basically off another pay-per-view in Judgment Day Batista lost.
Right, but you look at the last show before a pay-per-view, no matter how soon the last pay-per-view was.
The last show before Judgment Day.
No, the last show before One Night Stand. Of course, this applies to all pay-per-views. But with Saturday Night's main event, since Vince McMahon won the arm wrestling segment, he didn't win the arm wrestling contest, but he won the segment. He had the momentum, which guaranteed he was going to drop the belt at One Night Stand. The SmackDown tag match, since Edge deserted during the match, we didn't get a momentum marker from Batista. So that match was up in the air.
Yeah, and you had Benoit delivering a picture-perfect flying headbutt to Mr. Power Ranger himself, Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP.
Montel Vontavious Power Ranger takes them very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a match at One Night Stand, did they?
It was originally planned to be a match.
Okay.
But that got replaced with Kane Mark Henry, I believe.
Okay. So it didn't matter what they were doing. We needed to see what Edge and Batista were doing. Now, technically, Batista technically won the match because Benoit was his partner.
Yep.
Okay. I just want to make sure I had that straight in my head. Edge left, so Batista didn't get his last licks in, so we didn't know who was going to win at One Night Stand. A very well-planned segment.
It was.
Let's see, the Oddities six-man tag was... Yes.
I remember you told me that it was supposed to be Goldust and Kamala. Goldust on the face side, Kamala on the heel side.
Or possibly the other way around, since Goldust was to be brought in as a heel.
Yes, but to the fans, he was still a face. He hasn't been a heel since 97. No,
true.
I take that back, 96.
True. But it was the whole thing was very bizarre anyway with some of the things that we did see. We did have a Doink the Clown out there, and I'm not sure who was playing him. Have you seen anything on the web that might tell us who played Doink that night?
It couldn't be Eugene. He normally plays Doink, but he was wrestling that night. I remember Conway. I remember Conway usually plays.
Conway's been released.
Yeah, but Conway. Sure, and so that cancels out. Maybe it's a new Doink.
It's possible. There was a little bit of joking around that there was Chris Jericho, but I don't think it was.
It had to be either. Well, Steve Lombardi used to be a Doink, so that could be him.
That I'll buy. It wasn't a very big guy. They didn't get a really big guy for him, although the costume can hide a good hide musculature. But The way this guy was built, I would buy Steve Lombardi as Doink.
Yeah, one of the few times where, and I'm inserting a, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Let's just move on.
All right. That was the last match of the night, but the show did something that I have not seen in WWE.
Recaps.
They did a music video recap. So I had two words pop into my head while I'm watching this.
I did too.
Adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
I was baffled, actually. I think what it turned out to be is they put the video together as filler. In my area, it started 10, 15 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
The show did start late, and there were some very awkward commercial breaks. So they were able to...
We had it play normally.
Yeah, we had some weird commercial breaks. And it didn't start on time because something going on with the news. I guess there was a sporting event that screwed everything up.
Wait, where were you last week?
Minneapolis.
Probably a Twins game.
Thus, so you know there was some shuffling around on my end.
Yeah,
so.
Ours was perfectly fine.
But I felt it was a good show. I really thought it. I thought it was. It was much better than the other two Saturday night's main events. The first one I attended in person, and so my opinion might be a little soured because we had horrible seats, and security was even worse.
And I'll tell you this right now, the first Saturday night's main event, the new Saturday night main event was, I have it on DVD.
All right.
I watched it again, and I thought to myself, ugh. Bad, bad, bad. It was just a steaming pile of bad. The first new Saturday night's main event.
Well,
the one in Texas was okay, though.
Pardon?
The one in Texas was okay.
That, unfortunately, that's the one I didn't see, but I had seen previews of the show, of what was going to happen on the show. The DX Spirit Squad match that they did. Most of the goofiness that we saw in that, I got to see the house show a couple of weeks prior.
Yeah, and some more goofiness was on there too when they was like, "This is Vince McMahon, our boss. He's not a nice guy. I wonder what's really going on inside of his head." All right, you're gonna spank my bottom. Spank it once. Spank it twice. Spank it three times. Hands in. Red bottom on three. One, two, three. Red bottom. You can find that on the DX DVD set.
I should have packed it and brought it with me. No, I don't have a DVD player here. But a lot of the routines during the match, like Johnny's little headband that Triple H stole, and all the embarrassing things they did to Nikki, I think. Pull his pants down, put the bullhorn over his head and made him walk around the ring. I don't know if they did the air horn spot.
I'll just be honest right now. That was a complete and utter squash match, which was unnecessary.
Unnecessary, but you had to admit it was fun.
Oh, hell yeah. It was funny.
It was fun. It was funny. I mean, it ranks right up there with Brothers of Destruction versus Kennedy and MVP. It's a utterly pointless squash, but it is just so much fun to watch Undertaker and Kane playing Anything You Can Do.
I could do better.
Right. And it's just
no, you
fun
can't.
To...
Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
And whether it's Undertaker or Kane doing it, or there was one night where Kane and Sho started doing it, and I forgot that they did that, too.
See, it had to be Masters Carlito.
Most likely, but there was something that Sho did something, and Kane was having back issues at the time, but he's still performing. Sho did something, and Kane looked at him like, motherfucker, I can't do that right now. Oops. I'm not allowed to use that kind of French here, am I?
It doesn't matter. It's late night. All of us are tired. Our language can get fucked up, so yeah, you're cool.
All right, but there, I recall an instance of that where Big Show did something that Kane was just like, I can't believe you did that. I can't do that. Well, I'm going to try to do that, but it's going to hurt.
If there's one thing I remember from Kane and Big Show's title reign, it's that locked door. Hey, Show. How'd you get out? There's another door on the back. Let's go. There's another door?
That was beautiful. That was so beautiful. I actually, one of the matches I got to see Kane and the Big Show in, I got to see them fight the Cowboys. And I,
Kane Murdoch, are your new tag team champions?
Which baffles me because Vengeance is in 2 weeks.
Well, they've been pushing them to the moon. Well, not really pushing them to the moon, but they've been giving them airtime. They've been letting them talk. They've been pushing them.
Well, that's lovely. But again, we have the Night of Champions coming up in a couple of weeks. Why not do it on a pay-per-view, you know, platform?
Well, then again, it's the tag team division, and you know how much they care about the tag team division. So, like, how much WCW cared about the TV title in late 98-99.
What was I going to say? Oh, they had the Cowboys versus Big Show and Kane. This was in November of 2005.
I think, didn't they just lose the tag titles to Big Show and Kane?
I think Big Show and Kane already had them. I can't
remember. River Kane Murdoch losing them to Big Show and Kane.
Right, but I don't think that was the match I was watching. The one that I saw was like a Hardcore Rules or something, because I remember them, one of them sold Raven's shopping cart and had a bunch of crap in it.
Mm-hmm.
They used a lot of the crap in it. They fought in and out of the ring. They went up the ramp. And the finishing, I believe the finish, was Big Show throwing Kane through the Raw announce table.
Which is always a funny spot.
Which was actually kind of cool, because this was before they had moved the table back down to ringside. They were still up at the top of the ramp.
Oh, yeah. When did they move them back? I remember they moved them back to the bottom. Had to be when they did Robert Union.
Somewhere in there. I forget when the actual move was. But as of late 05, they were still up at the top of the, at the top there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in early 06. They had to have been moved because they were back down at the floor announce position when I attended. Well, no, that's a SmackDown show. I'll have to get you the date of that SmackDown show for a really, really funny shot.
Wait a minute. Was this an 06 SmackDown?
Yes.
When?
August. Let me see if I can find the specific date.
Okay, because I have all those SmackDowns, so I'll have to relook at that.
Okay. Let me see if I can get the actual date for you. Start here. Let's see if I have, if my list on my jump drive is up to date. But it was in August of 2006. It was a combo taping.
Was it actually on SmackDown that night?
The SmackDown would have aired, I think this is it. Okay, I was mistaken. July.
Okay.
The show was taped on July the 25th. So it aired on the 28th.
So July 28th?
Yes.
Okay. Now I know what to look for tomorrow morning.
And it's right around the halfway mark when JBL and Cole are talking.
JBL probably calling Michael Cole an untalented fruit booty. Probably less. That was during the time when it was. Was Vito doing the cross-dressing gimmick at that time?
Yes, because he had started it in June. I saw it for the first time at a house show in Fort Wayne. And, in fact, Vito fought Nunzio that night.
He also fought Nunzio when he first debuted the cross-dressing gimmick.
Right.
Actually, in the ring, not walking around. I remember really different people talking to Nunzio about this. I remember the first was Orlando Jordan, then Paul Burchill,
mm-hmm.
then others.
I couldn't tell you the actual on-air debut. I think Vito had not debuted it as of early June.
I think he debuted it when JBL took over as commentator.
So that would have been right after One Night Stand.
Yeah. Where he uttered the immortal line to One Night Stand 2. Kiss my ass. This show sucks.
This year's did. Last year's wasn't so bad.
It just, I knew it. It's uncensored. Uncensored has, there's no middle ground for uncensored. It's either really good or really bad.
Let's see. And this is not updated.
And what site are you talking about?
I'm looking at my events list. I keep track of all the events that I have attended. And on this list only goes up to February of 07. So it's missing a lot because I did a lot in March.
Mm-hmm.
But I have on here the dates and the locations of every show I've attended since 1999.
Amazing.
My first show was at the Daytona Beach Ocean Center on December 20th of 1999. It was just before Starrcade, so I got to see a preview of Bret Hart versus Goldberg. This was the only time I would ever see Bret Hart perform in person in a wrestling capacity. I was at last
mm-hmm.
year's Hall of Fame, so.
You went to Hall of Fame 2006?
I was there, in fact.
Wasn't his acceptance speech around 30 minutes?
It was a very long speech. I will give you that. And because there was a lot of cheering, there was a lot of chanting, there was a big one more match chant. To which,
however, I don't think he'll do one more match, at least not for the WWE.
His reply was, and I quote, "I wish."
You need to do it like a call of mockery, "I wish." I wish!
Well, he should wish very hard and go find those jean pants he was wearing when he was doing Aladdin for Toronto Theater Company. Anyway,
man, those genie pants are sweet. There's only two pairs of genie pants that were sweeter.
Taboos and?
Nope, not Taboos.
Okay.
Sanjay Dutt's?
Mm.
And MC Hammer's.
The original, the hammer, and people still speak the hammer pants to this day. Let's see, what else was on this card? Oh, that's right. Funny story at this first house show. My best friend had bought a had just bought a digital camera, and these were the ones that still used 3.5 floppies.
The 3.5 inch
floppy disks for storage.
1.44 megs.
Right, but the resolution was very low anyway, so she could get about 20 pictures to a disk. One of the matches of the evening was one that I had asked her to take tons of pictures for. She had me take pictures for a couple of matches. But I asked her to take pictures for this specific match, Ric Flair versus Lex Luger.
Oh, God. Wasn't this... This was supposed to be Great American Bash 91 main event.
And it was a mid-card match at a house show in Daytona Beach in 1999.
Lame.
Well, here's where it got interesting. The reason I handed her the camera was because I wanted to watch. Because that is one of my, one of the things that will get my IWC license revoked one day, that I am probably Lex Luger's last fan.
Right after the infamous Central State, NWA Cyberspace, when Billy Firehawk ran it. This T-shirt's too tight, Billy. Biggest superstar, legend,
about.
All of this guy, and the infamous on three. One, two, three. I don't know!
Which shows you how much of a goof he still is.
Well, his life was pretty messed up. I remember... when he was in TNA, putting over Sting's training. I think this was around September. Yeah,
right.
September. Him and Buff the Stuff Bagwell were in the ring putting over Sting's training. And he was just like, yeah, Sting's working out. He's working hard. He's dropped a lot of weight. He's doing a lot of stuff. And he just looks good. And Buff Bagwell was like, oh my God, Sting is going to kick ass at Bound for Glory. He's doing more workout than he ever did in his entire career at WCW. And I can guarantee you that.
That's true, people. Anyway. Well, no, here's what, the reason I'm telling this story. While my best friend is taking these pictures, a older woman who was working security at the show got a hold of her and was trying to get my friend to be escorted out of the building because the security person thought my friend had a video camera.
I remember those cameras back in 99. They were huge.
Exactly. So one of the last things she did before she got dragged away was she ejected the disc that was in there and handed it to me. In case they confiscated the camera. Because it was full of pictures from this match. My friend was gone for several minutes. And this match actually went a bit because Luger was very good at the heel stall.
Wait a minute. This was late 99?
Late 99.
He was doing the new total package gimmick then.
Right. This is only a couple of months removed from Lex Luger narrating his own funeral. Surprisingly, this match lasted long enough that she was able to come back after she was able to convince the security guard with the help of a younger security guard to show this old fart that this thing couldn't shoot video if it tried.
I like that. This old I'm not going to make a joke about that anymore. So, in other words, they got the camera back and the match went on fine.
And she managed to get me some very good pictures of Luger, and she had taken a picture that she told me I wasn't allowed to delete.
And that picture was?
The picture was a shot of his backside, so she could get a good look at what we thought was Lex Luger's insignia. I find out about 6 months later, it's actually the main event fitness logo for the gymnasium that Luger and Sting co-owned at that time.
Yeah, he wore that way into...
He wore that till the end of WCW.
Yeah.
But see, what was fun with what turns out is that my best friend took that logo. She told me I wasn't allowed to delete that picture. I said, why do you need a picture of Lex Luger's ass? I'm looking at his arms and his chest most of the time. Well, for Christmas, she had taken the picture to an artist
mm-hmm.
at a mall on the west side of Orlando and had a shirt airbrushed with that logo.
I would buy that shirt.
She gave it to me as a gift, and I do still have that shirt. But it wasn't until I went to the Thunder in Orlando about 5 months later that Tanay, of all people, pointed out to me that was the main event fitness logo.
Man, I find that great. You got owned by Mike Tanay. Mike Tanay.
I find that more of an honor, actually.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's Mike Tanay. I forgot. If it was somebody like Lee Marshall, you'd be like, oh.
If it had been Mark Madden, I would never tell the story.
What about Scott Hudson?
I liked Scott Hudson.
I'll tell you this about Scott Hudson. He is a great commentator. He just got saddled with... I remember his commentary was great when he did Saturday Night.
Mm-hmm.
Either with Tanay or somebody else. Even with Bobby Heenan late.
Right.
You know what? I want to see more old Saturday Night shows. You know, sure was the B show around 97,
98, 99. Right.
But it was still must-watch TV every Saturday. The Mothership.
We had a... I just got through with a very interesting discussion speaking of Saturday Night shows. I was discussing with a gentleman on my message board comparing ECW with Velocity.
Oh, you mean the current ECW with...
Yes,
the old Velocity shows.
Yeah, current ECW with Velocity leading up to before that they went to internet only and then just disappeared.
There's no comparison. Velocity was much better.
But what's funny is that if you told Vince McMahon that, he would probably yell at you.
Well, that's because Velocity was home to cruiserweights
and
the lower mid-carders.
And Velocity drew not even half the ratings that ECW is drawing.
Yeah, but that easily explained. It was moved to a bad time slot, 11 p.m. on Saturday. Remember, Saturday.
Right.
And right before that, you had a whole bunch of stuff on Spike. And Spike has never drew well on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. I think TNA is a prime example of this. Remember when it was on Saturday nights at 11 p.m.? I sort of made a joke with my brother that this was it's the Velocity show again, but with a six-sided ring and with Iron Mike Tanay and the guy who shilled baseball cards. On the Triple Home Network.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed at this point that maybe somebody has seen my resume at TNA.
Well, you would also might have to work with your hero, Vince Russo.
I'm gonna put a clause in my contract.
No working
that
with Russo.
I don't work directly with Vince Russo, and B, at least once a year, I want to be able to declare something that he writes stupid so that I can walk up to him and slap him in the mush.
Ah, the Jim Cornette clause.
Yes.
All right.
And I think, and Corny knows me, so he might put it in there.
That would be great. You know, I saw one of my, first time I saw one of my, no, I take that back, no. You know, I think you would actually make a great manager on TV.
I would love the opportunity. I really would. If Kenny Bolin at OVW can do it, and if Ghetto Fabulous at New Era can do it, I can do it.
Who, Ghetto Fabulous?
I've got a picture of him on my MySpace. He's a manager, and I swear to God, he's Fat Albert from the hood.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Even if you have a lame person to manage, at least you'll be much better than the human heat vacuum himself, Harvey Whippleman.
I know I can do better than that.
I'll say this right now about Harvey Whippleman. I want to keep on going to managers here.
All right.
Actually, let's just change the discussion to managers. As you know, managers are a dying breed. We only had one manager in WWE right now, and that was Armando, and now he's not even on TV anymore.
Right, and that's because Vince is supposedly holding Umaga's leash. Although, personally, right now I would be writing that Umaga is running around just destroying shit and killing people because nobody's
right.
controlling him.
And I think the only manager they have on there now is Kali's translator, if you could count him as a manager, which I sort of, well, don't.
He's not a manager. He does not participate in the matches. He is merely there to explain the Punjabi Bible out of Kali's mouth.
Right, and to this date, aside from Armando, the only other manager that I would accept would be either Paul E. for Big Show, and still that didn't help.
Big Show didn't need a manager.
Right, that's the problem with Big Show. He only needed a manager early on in his career in WCW because he was a member of the Dungeon of Doom. He needed a manager and a mouthpiece so he could learn how to talk and whatnot. And that's what Jimmy Hart is great for.
Right.
And now, I think the last manager that you had beside Armando was Michelle McCool.
Now, I'm going to throw Daivari in there.
Oh, originally of Kali.
Daivari, even when he was with Muhammad Hassan, he did a lot more managing than actual wrestling, which is a shame. I heard he's a very, very good cruiser.
Yeah. Didn't he wrestle in Ring of Honor?
He did, and I've actually got a picture. I've seen a picture someplace of the Flying Carpet Splash.
What's the Flying Carpet Splash?
It's essentially a crossbody, but he actually unfurls a carpet midair. And there was a Raw where he came out carrying that carpet.
Aladdin, eat your heart out.
I wanted to see him do it just once on Raw, just to hear the absolute racial backlash from some, you know, from some group saying, oh, you can't show that.
Well, if it was on ECW, nobody would care.
And you'd be on a channel where, you know, they deal with intergalactic racism, so.
They don't care. CW would have another fit.
Mm-hmm.
USA probably would be indifferent to it.
So USA would be indifferent to it, especially if it was aired in the same time slot. They wouldn't
right.
care. I mean, they were in Silk Stockings. Do you think they're going to care about this mess?
Not only did they run Silk Stockings, I think they also ran another sleazy show called The Big Easy. Which was from the producers of Silk Stockings.
There you go. Let's see.
Now, I remember when managers were really useful. I want to go back to the year of the manager, to me. The last great year for managers, 91.
All right.
In the big two, WWF and WCW, you count about 10-15 managers.
Okay.
And this was when Sherry and Elizabeth, although valets, were included.
Well, Sherry...
Because they knew how to manage.
Right. Sherry, I know, works very well as a manager. Elizabeth, I guess I need to see more, because even in her last run as a manager, because she did technically manage Luger during the fall of WCW.
Yeah, then Bischoff took, not Bischoff, Russo took her away.
And by turning her, which was just silly.
Yeah, that was lame. Let's see, going back to 91, for WWE, you had Heenan, Fuji, I think Slick, in limited roles, I think early 91. Jimmy Hart, who was still riding high on the Canada thing with the Mountie, and his new tag team, the Nasty Boys.
Right.
You had, let's see, you had Paul Bearer as the Undertaker. And earlier in the year, Brother Love, who was managing the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else she had here. Fuji. Man. Oh, Human Heat Vacuum, Dr. Harvey Whippleman.
Yeah.
Who was managing Big Bully Busick.
Okay.
Who was Nick Busick, who you could actually see on World Championship Wrestling on WWE 24/7.
Okay.
Because he's a jobber there.
Oh, pardon me. So we've wandered away from some sort from what we were supposedly talking about.
It was time to change. It doesn't matter anymore. We only got about 9 minutes left in the show anyways.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a...
Now, I want to go to the other company in WCW, where you had Theodore R. Long.
Right.
You had your hero, Paulie Dangerously.
My dear uncle.
Yeah, who was during the early workings of the Dangerous Alliance.
Right.
The early workings. I think during that time he was managing... No, Lady Blossom was managing Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Who was wrestling... I remember later on... Tail end of 91, he had Rude. And he had somebody else. I think he had Eaton or Anderson. Eaton, Anderson, and Sabisco.
Right.
He had four of the five members of the Dangerous Alliance, and he picked up... God, who was the other one? He picked up Steve Austin later on. Because he was still with Lady Blossom at the time. You had Theodore Long. You had Missy Hyatt, who... Sure, she was the backstage person.
Mm-hmm.
Doing stuff with Bischoff. However, she would be a valet from time to time.
Right.
You had J.J. Dillon, still there.
Right.
And for a brief period of time, you had Jamie Cornette.
That's true.
There was a buttload of managers, and then within 92, it was just sort of like the manager collapse in the WWF, because all you had at the end of the year was Jimmy Hart, a returning Slick,
mm-hmm.
and Fuji.
So Bearer had already left?
No. Thank you for reminding me. Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer was there.
I was going to say, because I know Bearer left Undertaker well before
in 96.
Kane, in 96, but came back within a year with Kane.
No, and actually it was more than a year.
Bad Blood 97 was in October?
Yeah. Okay. Left Undertaker in April. I mean, August 96 at one of the best... Well, at a really good SummerSlam, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rob.
Summer. Yeah, Carl?
What's happening?
Not much. Did you enjoy the conversation between me and Nikki?
Yeah, I've been listening most of the time here.
I know. We'll wrap this up in about 5 minutes, so...
Three of us can wrap it up here a little bit.
Okay. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, go ahead and finish.
All right.
Alrighty.
So, you had the time period where you had The Undertaker going to feud with Mankind. He wins that, although he loses the match, the Buried Alive match, was supposed to be the big blow-off to the feud.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back and beats Mankind at Survivor Series. And then in the next pay-per-view, beats the Executioner. And then they stuck Vader with Paul Bearer, which was wrong to begin with.
Harry.
Because Vader worked well with Jim Cornette. However, In some cases, Vader doesn't need a manager, and in some cases, there's only one other guy that knew how to manage Big Van Vader.
And that was?
Harley Race.
Hmm.
Because he managed him for years in WCW. Led Vader to championships. Led him into big victories. He did a lot for Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also talked about interview-wise. Gates. No, Arnie Scullin was the big champion for the faces. The face manager.
Okay.
You have the inverse in Harley Race.
Really?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You know, you have your heel, well-respected champion.
Mm-hmm.
Manager.
Right.
Face, well-respected champion, Arnie Scullin. Heel, well-respected manager in Harley Race. If you want to know how serious those two were, pick up Starrcade 93. You saw Vader and Harley Race show up 3.5 hours early to the beginning of the pay-per-view when they were supposed to show up. They were in the ring training for Flair in what I personally believe was a 5-star match. Screw you, Meltzer.
And with that, I guess we'll wrap it up here.
All
right. Sounds good to me.
Just for a little, before we do leave here, a little quick note. Sorry for not being into this show, guys, and for whoever was listening.
No, you're fine. If things are going on and you can't perform to 100%, I'm usually available.
All right. Before we do leave, I have a quick note for those who try to listen to the show who can't get through. The way to do it, if you have Firefox as your web browser, the stream comes on an ASX file, which is Windows Media Stream. What you do is, if you click on Listen Live, it'll come up in another little tab here in Firefox. You might have to unblock if you use a Windows Firewall and XP or Vista. And if you unblock the connection, then you'll be able to listen to us. If you use an Internet Explorer, it'll open its own separate window and you'll have to do the same thing. I do believe, but I really couldn't confirm that, but I'm just saying for Firefox users.
Okay, thanks for letting me know, Carl. I'll be sure to tell my friends.
And that's if you use Vista or XP. I'm not sure about any other OS.
He uses XP, I believe.
Alright, I'll do it for this debut edition. I'll be fully back next week, I promise. I do thank Rob and Nikki for taking the reins of this debut show.
I appreciate being called on board. I've had a wonderful time.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Rob.
I'm always here for you, Carl.
Alright, we'll see you all next week, probably Thursday night, and hopefully at normal time and not late night like tonight. Good night, everybody.
And we can guarantee it'll be much more better than the last episodes of WCW Thunder.
Now. I was at the last Thunder and it wasn't that bad.
I mean, the last... Okay, how about the 2000 Thunders?
I said I was at the very last Thunder in 2001.
I'm talking about the 2000 Thunders when Russo was working them.
They weren't bad. I've seen better.
Mm-hmm. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, since no one's on here, I'm going to have a little editorial. Again, I do apologize for not really totally being into this show. I was looking forward to doing it. There's some crazy shit, personal stuff happening over yonder, over here tonight, and just really wasn't into it. So what I did was I put my phone on mute. I actually still had my phone on this whole time, listening to Rob and Nikki just talk about different things, and they were pretty good. I'll give y'all that. Y'all were pretty good. If it ever comes to that again, I'm just going to let y'all take over the show. And it'll probably come out better that way. The schedule for next week on this network, probably the same depending on my work schedule. CC Live Monday night. And this next Thursday night again, but hopefully a little earlier. Probably about 11. 10 Central or midnight, 11 p.m. Central, something. We'll see how things go. The CL Files will come back next month around this time. I don't know. So, again, I do thank Rob Seidelman. I thank Nikki Heyman. Tyler, I don't know where the hell you were, but you left before I started doing this. Damn you. Just kidding. Chris, sorry that you wouldn't be able to be been a part of the show early. But we'll give you next week to do your portion. And let's see, what else can I cover before I hang it up for tonight and go to bed? As I turn my computer off. Like I said, to listen live to our shows and to any show on Blog Talk Radio, for that matter, again, I'm going to repeat those instructions for y'all who missed it. If you're using Firefox, in either XP or Vista, of course I use Vista now, what you do is you click on Listen Live whenever we're on. Your firewall program, whether it be Windows Firewall or any other program like Zone Alarm or Net Defense, is going to ask you if you want to allow connections. For Windows Firewall, you have to unblock your connection in order to let the stream come in through your folder. If you put the Windows Media Player plugin for Firefox for 11, you should have no problems at all. So, and like I said, Firefox will come in another tab for Windows Internet Explorer should come in a separate window. Or if you use other programs like Winamp, it'll go to your Winamp player. Real player, I'm not sure. iTunes, you can subscribe to our shows on iTunes as well. Not sure how you do that, because I don't use iTunes. I don't even have it installed on my computer. Maybe you could subscribe to the feeds. I'm not sure you do that either. I'm just telling you what I know. Because actually, I had my phone running on mute, and I had the live feed on my computer running at the same time, even though we're like 15 seconds apart every time. Nikki's is right dead on for some weird reason. Rob, I don't know about him. 15 seconds apart, and sometimes I do that just to make sure my phone, my voice can be heard on my phone, because it's a piece of crap. So, I'm going to wrap this up now, because it's past 1 on the Central Time Zone. CC Live again, Monday night, over the same time, 8 o'clock, depending on my work schedule. If not, it'll be Tuesday. But we'll see. I think it might, for next week, it might have to be Tuesday because they might have superiors told me something about working more night shifts than daytime upcoming, so I don't know yet. This show in SWC will be next week as well. Hopefully on Thursdays. Like I said, it has to... See, they have to schedule my stuff. It determines... To determine how my work schedule goes. Like, for the last couple of weeks, I've been working Wednesday nights. And it's usually Thursday nights I have to work, but the last 2 weeks has been Wednesday. And I have to work again tomorrow night, which is why... See, the original plan for the show is to do it tomorrow, but I have to work tomorrow night, so that's out of the question. Which is why I scheduled tonight, Thursday. But, well, technically it is Friday. What am I saying? It was scheduled for Thursday. It happened early Friday, so whatever. And it don't pay to do weekend shows because no one listens to your shit. Especially Saturday night, though. People are at home. People are out getting drunk or whatever. Jeez. Okay. I think I about rambled on here for the last 5 minutes, so I'm going to stop here and go to bed. If you listen to this little audio commentary of mine, thank you for listening to this show. And please leave your comments or whatever to me either, for those who know me on my Facebook or whatever. I know someone will, at least. We'll be back next week with CC Live and DNSWC again. I'm Carl Schneer. I thank you for listening tonight. And thanks to Rob Sodelman and Nikki Heyman for taking over basically the rest of the show. And I'll be back fully with y'all next week. Good night.